You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. It's good to have you with us. We're looking ahead to the action on Friday, where it is of course day three of the William Hill St Leger Festival at Doncaster. Plenty of group races on the card as well on Friday, and perhaps the jewel in the crown is Stradivarius running in the Doncaster Cup, sure to be the headline act, albeit will be a short price to put yet another one next to his name, the multi-millionaire that Stradivarius is. You can join us on Racing Radio for all the action at Doncaster and indeed further afield. We'll be live with Ross Briley doing the presenting, and Will Smith and Gareth Topham in charge of finding the winners. But Sam Norris here on today's edition of the podcast, and delighted to be accompanied in the studio by Andrew Mount. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sam. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Are you enjoying the festivities of this week thus far? I suppose it's a bit of a low-key start to the meeting.
I enjoyed day one of the William Hill St Leger Festival, thanks to the headwind. Very hard to win from the front, and those who were held up on the straight course, you got cover. Enjoyed a big advantage. So from a punting point of view, it was a little bit easier than normal to find winners. So I'm hoping for more of the same on day two.
Would it be fair to say that you've taken into account headwinds and tailwinds, etc., more into your sort of thoughts over the course of the last year or so? Obviously, we've been working together for a few years now. It seems to me like wind has cropped up more often in recent times.
Yeah, I guess it's something that a lot of punters and, you know, odds compilers don't consider.
Yeah.
And you know, it's very significant at certain tracks, particularly Newcastle, Yarmouth, you know, generally over these sort of straight miles and fairly exposed and coastal tracks as
yes.
well.
Yes. Interesting stuff. You were obviously in the studio for day one of the meeting, as we heard there, alongside the enigmatic Chris Pimlott. In between Pimmer's antics, were there any eye catchers?
Yeah, though the eye catcher was Pimmer's himself, because he was firing in winners left, right and centre. 20-1 Dark Shadow won the last at Doncaster. 14-1 Party Poker in the Munster National, so you can do it over jumps and on the flat. You know, any code, any distance. Pimmer's was your man yesterday, so he was flying.
I was going to start talking about broken clocks and blind squirrels, but actually, it's remarkable how consistent he is at churning them out via his various systems that make sense only to him.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the horse front, there were one or two eye catches yesterday. One over jumps, surprisingly for me, given someone who's sort of flat orientated, particularly this time of year. And that was John Joella, who was third at 66-1 in the opener at Utoxeter. That was a handicap hurdle over the near 3-mile trip. Mm. Now, she was having a second run for the Anthony Carson yard. She was a massive £20 out of the handicap, wearing first-time blinkers. And she's made the running, looks set to be swamped. And then next thing, she's rallied and she's there again in second place. Eventually finished third, about 10 lengths behind the winner. But interesting to see how the handicap is going to react to that. But if she's out again fairly soon, despite being an 8-year-old mare with a 0-21 record, so you're open to improvement for this yard. And John Joella could probably pick up a small race, perhaps somewhere like Stratford, where front runners do well,
yeah.
And you know, in a smaller field, and she can dominate. I'd certainly have her as one to back next time. On the flat itself, so I mentioned the headwind bias.
Mm.
There was an interesting performance in the 2.25 from Martin Mead's Oni Madden. Finished fourth at 4-1. Now, he made the running, which he hadn't done previously for his two wins. He was a winner at Newbury when coming from off the pace, and he won a 20-runner nursery at York a couple of runs ago over 6 furlongs. And he tracked the pace down the middle that day, stepped back up to 7 here. You thought, well, longer trip, he's surely going to be ridden patiently to ensure he gets it. But he made the running, which it was no good into the headwind. So that fourth place can be upgraded. And the other one was one for Owen Burrows in the William Hill leading racecourse bookmaker condition stakes over 10 furlongs. We were on the round course, but again, it was hard to make the running because you have that long straight. Most of the race, you're into the teeth of the gale. El Wazir, even in the first time, Hood, back from a break since May, made the running. It was a sort of fairly weak 9-1 shot in the betting. And looked like he was going to hold on for much of the race until Fox Tal came from the back and did him. Went down by 2 lengths. But so there's certainly races to be won with him this year. And he is entered in the arc still, believe it or not.
Okay.
So I think that's tilting at windmills. But I think El Wazir should be finding a race or two before the end of the season.
Yeah, interesting stuff. A couple of considerations there, possibly for the trackers going forward. One final word on the opening day of the meeting. We really can't move on without discussing the Ledger Legends race a little bit, because you selected the winner of the race, Sammy Joe Bell, obviously beating Noel Feely. They won't have had much opportunity to race against each other in the past. One of the great things about the race, and well done with the winner in that one.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. That was Dubai Acclaim. Qualifier on the Richard Fahey first time cheek pieces system, and was nicely drawn in the middle, was given a patient ride, got cover from the wind. I think the first three came out of stall 7, 8 and 9 in that big field, and the winner and second came from way back. Hammergun was unlucky in the end, but back from 22-1 in the morning into 4-1 favouritism under Noel Feely, got no luck in running and went down by a narrow margin behind the winner, but I'll take it.
Yeah, there were some major market moves in that race. Next time Andrew Thornton's in the William Hill offices, I'll have to ask why his mount went from 6 in the morning to 20-1 by the time the race went off.
Yeah, I can confirm that he wasn't on the phone to me the night before asking how betting exchanges worked.
Right, good stuff. Final points on that, I suppose. When it comes to that race and the various systems that you apply, it is obviously a little bit of a different race because of the jockeys. Do you treat it like any other race? Do the jockeys come into your mind? Are there certain ones that you'd rather back over others? Obviously, there's a sliding scale of fitness, let's say, in terms of jockeys that can test that race.
We had a bit of fun in the studio because Ken was in the paddock for us at Doncaster, and Pimmer's got him to give a fitness assessment on the jockeys. And Gary Bardwell, for example, was carrying a little bit of condition, I think, to put it politely. So obviously the ones who are still riding work, like Kieran Fallon still rides work for Sidebin Sorour, I believe. Some of the ones who've retired only recently were obviously a lot fitter than some of their long-retired counterparts.
Indeed. Really looking forward to the remainder of the meeting then. Let's try and find a winner or two on day 3 of the William Hill St. Ledger Festival. This is the Friday. Andrew's got a couple of races picked out. Of course, got Stradivarius running in the Doncaster Cup a little bit later on, but not much of a betting proposition at around about 4-9 at the time of recording to record yet another victory. And has obviously got every chance of doing so in that race. We'll start with the opener, though, the 210. This is a Group 3 over 7 furlongs, the Sceptre Stakes for this one, and quite a decent-sized field get a post for this one, which hasn't been the case for every single race throughout the course of the week at Doncaster. Early prices here with William Hill. Farzine is 9-2 at the time of recording. Difede is 6-1. Pretty Baby 8-1. 8-1 Angels Hideaway. 10-1 California Love. 12-1 and bigger prices the rest. As we know, Andrew, it's a bit of a specialist trip, this 7 furlongs. Do you look for proven 7 furlong horses, or are you going elsewhere?
Well, I've got an angle in this race. Okay. It's a bit of an odd one, and it's looking for horses who ran in listed company last time out. And those who've been plying their trade in group company already don't always do so well in this one. It's often a filly who's stepping up in class. Now, since 2010, if you just bet any horse who ran a listed level last time out in this Group 3 contest, 6 winners from 26 runners, 23% strike rate, and a big profit of £52.75 to a £1 level stake. We've had a few shocks in this race over the years. And last year, this system had 2 qualifiers, didn't find the winner, but it did include a placed horse at 20-1.
Okay.
Now, there's only one qualifier this time around, and that's Sunday Star for Ed Walker. Jamie Spencer on board. She's a 16-1 shot with us at the time of recording. And last time out, she was well beaten at Pontefract, finishing 9th of 10 in listed company, never getting involved. But that track wouldn't have suited. All her best form is on straight courses. And if you chuck out her seasonal debuts, which she always needs, she's had 4 runs on straight tracks, a Newmarket win, a Group 3 third again at Newmarket, and another Newmarket win this time in July this year in handicap company, and a 4th enlisted company at Deauville when she was hampered. So you're never at the first four on straight courses when she's had a fairly recent run. Jamie Spencer on board for the first time. I think that tells you how she's going to be ridden off the pace, which, you know, there's no headwind forecast for Friday's racing, but I still like to sort of be ridden chilly, as the Americans like to say, on the straight track at Donny. And you know, what should be a truly run race, a nice draw in the middle to get cover, stall nine. I think that 16-1, this one could, Sunday Star could well reward each way support.
Okay, Sunday Star in the 2.10 race at Doncaster then. On to the 4.20 next. This is a listed race over 7 furlongs for the two-year-olds. We're light on runners here, but it's certainly a fascinating little heat, Andrew. We've got in the shape of Wichita and Aiden O'Brien Horse, who won on debut. They're always interesting. Visionari, who on debut was going to be the second coming, perhaps hasn't delivered since then. And Malatham's also in the race as well, who won the Convivial Maiden at York, which tends to be one of the stronger maidens of the year. The other two aren't exactly back numbers here. We're small on numbers, as I say, but this looks at an interesting little puzzle.
Yeah, it's a fascinating race. We haven't got any prices yet, but looking at the Racing Post betting forecasts, they go 9-4, each of two, 5-2. The third in. One of those forecasters, the 9-4 joints, is Visionari for Mark Johnson. And that's the way I'm going. I mean, I'm looking at this Racing Post ratings. He's 120, £12 clear of the rest. And you see a sort of superiority like that. Normally you'd be thinking this horse is going to start odds on, but it looks like it's going to be odds against. He's the pace angle in the race with Frankie Dettorion. So the headwind will have disappeared come racing on Friday, according to the weather forecast that I've looked at. So I'm not too worried, particularly with, you know, Dettorion on board and only five runners, about Visionari being able to make the running here. Because first time out, hacked up at Newmarket by 3.5 lengths in novice company at 10-1. He started odds on next time at the same track. That was for the Group 2 July Stakes. He was only beaten a short head and a head into third that day. The winner in second coming from way off the pace. I think there's a suspicion that he's probably done a bit too much too soon, because he got taken on for the lead by one of the O'Brien runners that sort of softened him up and allowed the shorter price stablemate to pick up the pieces. And then last time out, just forget that run behind Pinatubo at Goodwood in the Vintage Stakes. Goodwood, there was a massive bias favouring horses who came from off the pace. There were 23 races on the round course at the 5-day meeting. Only one winner made all.
Right, okay.
And that was off a very, very slow pace, Vividly, who won the maiden for Charles Hills. So, you know, Pinatubo described as in touch in midfield. The runner-up positive, Dwelt, held up in touch. The third, Lope Fernandez, slowly into stride. So if you were anywhere near the front end, you were in trouble. Visionari made the running. So, you know, weakened, you know, pretty tamely that day, but I think you can put it down to the track. And I think back on a straight course in a race where he looks like he's going to be able to dominate, and dropping down from Group 2 to listed level, I think they won't see which way he goes.
It'd be great to see Visionari get back on track, having came within a whisker of the two-year-old course record on debut at Newmarket, which generally debutants just don't do. And after a couple of lesser efforts the last twice, would be really good to see Visionari put his career back on track in what looks a particularly strong year for the two-year-olds. He looked as though he was going to be one of those leading lights for the juveniles at one stage. And hopefully in the 4.20, it can be a step back in the right direction.
Yeah, so that was his third quick run as well at Goodwood, relatively speaking. He didn't make his debut until the 8th of June. He's now had just over 6 weeks off, so it's been freshened up since that Goodwood disappointment. I think we can forgive it.
Yeah, looked a horse that was going to fill into his frame as well as time goes on. So hopefully Visionari can win that 4.20 at Doncaster. That's one of Andrew's two selections. The other one at a bigger price runs in the open of the 2.10. Hopefully Sunday Star can go well in that one. Don't forget you can tune into all the action on Racing Radio. We'd love to have you with us from 1:40 p.m. Ross Briley, Will Smith and Gareth Topham will be in the studio. Andrew, thank you for that. Pleasure as always.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
And enjoy the rest of the meeting.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.